Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 10th day of November 2005. Glad you've joined us today, and you may be joining us from Anderson County and Pickens County, and if so, want to let you know that 87.9 will be even improving in strength over the next week as they continue to do upgrades over there. Glad to have a whole new listening base. Of course, we also have Spartanburg and Greenville on the air, as we have for some time now, and glad we're able to reach the upstate. Any rate, we want to check the weather for those of you who are on the way to work so you know what your travels are going to be like.
Yeah, well, today, right now, it's about 57 degrees in Greenville. It's going to be in the lower 70s today, breezy and becoming sunny this morning with northwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. So looks like a beautiful, almost early fall day, even though we're into November already, so enjoy.
Okay, very good. And wasn't there some quotation you were going to read that really sounded good this morning? I'll tell you what, the producer and I were just getting a kick out of reading something earlier today from old Lysander Spooner, one of our favorites from the 1900s.
Yes, sir. Lysander Spooner said, "If taxation without consent is not robbery, then any band of robbers have only to declare themselves a government, and all their robberies are legalized." That was in a letter to President Grover Cleveland.
Hey, that's right. You bet. That's great stuff. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to actually do something a little different today because we have a caller already on the line. Rogers on the line from Spartanburg. We're going to go ahead and jump right to a caller first thing here. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Roger, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, John. How are you?
All right, thanks. What's on your mind?
I wanted to call and say that I've been listening for 3 weeks. I finally found the dial way over on the left side of my radio dial, and for the most part, I agree with everything you guys say. I start listening, and you talk about Christians and the right to self-defense, check. Taxation is stealing, check. I mean, all this stuff is great, libertarian. I'm also the one that emailed you from Spartanburg when I thought that there was going to be a meeting at the Beacon one night, but it had been moved, so I thank you for letting me know that, because I got in touch with the lady who is in charge of that, and she invited me back again.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, that was an odd mix-up. I'm not sure why that happened the way it did. They're relatively new up there, apparently, and I didn't get the message that the meeting time had been changed, so I'm glad you were able to link up with them. Was it a good meeting up there at the Beacon?
Well, it would have been if I had been able to make it. Like I said, it was scheduled for a Tuesday, but they moved it to the following Thursday, which I couldn't make, but they told me when I could come to the next one, which will be the first Thursday, December. So.
Okay, good.
I wanted to ask some questions about some things that I've heard. It may be a case of one of those disclaimers where everything that you hear on this station is not necessarily supported by Dr. Coben. I don't know, because I don't know you that well, but
okay.
One day there was a comment made by someone that said that if you sent your kids to public school, you were destined to hell. Now, I'm paraphrasing, I know, but I wanted to know if you really felt that strongly about that, or if that was just some kind of, for effect type thing.
Well, I appreciate you bringing up that. I don't remember that specific comment. It doesn't sound like it came from me.
But you
may find that I'm pretty close to that because when we're talking about the issue of the pagan seminary, that is the institution that plunders people and robs them of their property rights in order to so-called educate people and do what the public school does with its mess kit every day of violence, immorality, paganism, low levels of education, and working against the principles of the founding fathers and working against Christianity for that matter. I don't see any way to describe the public school experience for Christian families as anything other than sinful. I don't think a Christian has any right or option to send his children to the public school and be right before God. And I would recommend to you two books that talk about this, and we've used them on the show here quite a bit, probably before Spartanburg had a good signal. One is Bruce Short's brand new book called The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. Bruce Short has a doctorate from Stanford in I forgot what it is now, what his field is, and he has a JD, a lawyer's degree from Harvard, and he's a Southern Baptist, very strong believer, and incredibly lucid in his expose, about 450 pages, as I recall, of just documented cases of why Christians should have nothing to do with the public school. And then there's also, theoretically, why it's wrong for Christians to be involved. In my book, my last book, which was Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, showing that the public school is a kind of a proactive policy, which for Christians or for libertarians or anyone who loves liberty should be completely off limits. You shouldn't have anything to do with proactive policy. And if you're not familiar with proactive policy, we can talk about that a bit on the show too. But I would not say that someone is going to hell necessarily because he sends his kid to the public school. I think most Christians who send their children to public schools don't realize just how big an enemy it is to the Christian faith or to the principles of liberty, and how the public school is indeed our main enemy in life for the things that are working against us. It is the one who trains and indoctrinates and disseminates the policies of evil. And really twist the minds of young people all over this country.
Then we agree then, because that's what I thought. It was just a little harsh about the going to hell or in danger of hell, but I felt like most of these people probably don't know, and also I'm a believer that since we all sin and come short, you know, all that stuff. So The other thing I wanted to ask about was a fellow, good old Nathan Bedford Forrest. There was a minister on the air a couple of weeks ago. It was late at night, and I'm sure it was a recording, but he was singing the praises of this man and how we will all see him in heaven. Now, I know I was indoctrinated in public school for 10 out of the 12 years I was there, and then went to college at a liberal university, but nothing I've ever read about old Nathan leads me to think that he has anything in common with the angels of heaven. You could educate me and make me see something that I don't know about him.
Well, as far as I know, Nathan Bedford Forrest was not a Christian. I may be mistaken. Our producer is sitting there scratching his head trying to think about it, too.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
He was an incredibly good and effective general. I think his one of his great claims to fame is the guy had more hand-to-hand combat kills than any general in American history. I think it was 29 or something like that, a hand-to-hand combat kills with a sword. Or a knife. And that's fine. But as far as his language goes, as far as I'm not sure what the KKK involvement was. Didn't he start the KKK? Our producer wants to step in here. Go ahead.
Well, I do believe, and I'll recheck on this this afternoon, Dr. Coben, and let you know. But it occurs to me that I think he may have professed Christ after the war, later in life. And I'll do a little research on that, but I do believe that was the case.
Okay, well, then we'll have to leave that up to an I don't know. He's one general I know a bit about, but not a huge amount compared to people like Lee or Jackson. I know he's not held up frequently as being a strong Christian compared to those two, but he may well have professed faith late in life.
And I think part of the reason for that...
The only other question I would like to ask you is about the Christian Exodus that was advertised for a while back there. I had gotten some letters on it from a fellow in Texas, and they scared me. Some of the things that they wanted to do, move down here to South Carolina, which is already a red state anyway, and try to get us to vote to secede from the Union. I mean, some of this stuff sounded pretty bizarre, so I just wondered if you... knew very much about them, or if they just contacted you.
Are you talking about Christian Exodus? I missed that part.
Yes, Christian Exodus, some group from, I don't really know where they began. I was told in Pennsylvania, but the head of it's in California, and they want to get a group of their followers to move to upstate South Carolina, of all places.
I spoke at the Christian Exodus conference, very supportive of Christian Exodus as a concept. Christian Exodus primarily wants South Carolina to secede from the Union. I mean, their goal is to not try to reform Washington, that the only out, possible out for them is to secede. A lot of them want to get involved with politics in the Republican Party, but not all of them do. I'd say the vast majority of Christian Exodus people are constitutionalists, and there are a few things which I would disagree with even the leadership on. I've even been critical of Corey's views on the air at times in the past, but not any real significant way compared to what I would be with somebody like George Bush. As far as the Libertarian Party goes, there are a number of Libertarians in Christian Exodus too. So it's sort of a mixed bag. It's a group of people that want to come here, get involved with politics, possibly change and transform local elections and so forth, and then eventually be able to secede from the Union if possible. And that may be a pipe dream, but anybody who's in favor of seceding from the federal government as it stands is, boy, it's all right by me, even if there are a few things here and there I don't agree with. So.
That's the part that I thought of. I thought, well, this seceding might go into the part where you talk about when one has the ability to do something, one's supposed to do it, but then when you don't, you're supposed to be happy with what you have. So that's what I thought of the Christian Exodus people is, okay, come on down, influence politics all you want, but this is kind of strange.
Well, at least they're giving a shot at trying to do something. Most Christians today are not only not activists, they're just not interested in trying to engage their culture. They just go along to get along. They're really more clones of the major media or the public school system or whatever other doctrinaire happens to be floating around. That is what we find most Christians looking like the world, frankly. And at least Christian Exodus people are trying to take a stand. There's a few things I would not make a big deal about. For instance, the posting of the Ten Commandments. Now, you say, well, why not? Aren't you a Christian? Well, yes, I am. But the problem is when you have the view of the state that I have, that the kind of state we have now is aligned with the kingdom of Satan, I don't want them to have any kind of proactive powers. Because I know that they could care less about the Ten Commandments, and if I give them that, what else are they going to be thrusting upon me? Some kind of pagan idolatry?
Exactly, yes. Why would we want it?
Carl? Yeah, well...
I got you there. That makes sense.
Now, if indeed we had a godly government, just to throw a bone over to those who would be more on the Reconstructionist side, if we actually had a godly government, okay, you know, that's a different story, but we are so far from a godly government. As far as I can tell, the government that we have is about as pitiful or as pagan as it's ever been, even the most egregious times in the Middle Ages or in the Roman Empire. So, at any rate, those are tough, thorny questions that good men of goodwill will disagree upon to some extent, but those are the kinds of issues I might have here and there with Christian Exodus. But in general, I'm very supportive of them. The people are great. Corey Burnell is a wonderful guy, and so are the other people here in the Upstate involved with the Christian Exodus movement that I know.
Are the Libertarians, would they be considered Christian evolutionists? I mean, I wondered if I would be welcome in this group, or if that would be anathema to them.
Christian evolutionists? I don't know if they have any stand at all on the doctrine of Darwin or evolution and stuff.
I was hoping so. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure I didn't step into some ultra-Christian bag of tricks.
So. Well, you probably have a lot of people, I mean, like me, who would hold to a six-day literal creation that are in Christian Exodus, but I don't know. I assume that's the case. But anyway, Roger, we need to take a break. You're welcome to hold on through the break, or we can just talk another time.
I'll check back. Thank you very much. You've been a very big help to me.
Okay, thanks for calling, Roger. I'll call again soon, and please continue to support us by spreading the word in Spartanburg. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
A patriot must always be ready to defend his country against his government. Edward Abbey.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today, this 10th day of November, 2005. Had a great call this morning, if you just joined us, from Roger up in Spartanburg, and we're reaching lots of people up there who hadn't heard the Christian Worldview show before. Just no doubt shocked by what they're hearing on the radio compared to the other stations on the dial. And we don't particularly care for the fact that we're all the way to the left of your dial, but if you stand on your head, which you have to really to understand the way things are going on today, then you'll find that we're all the way to the right. So if that makes any sense to you, continue on, go press forward. At 8 o'clock today, we're going to be having Mr. Robert Clarkson on the air, who we had on last week, and a lot of folks were interested in hearing what he had to say about his court case with the IRS. We'll be talking about that again today. Robert should be joining us in about 15 minutes or so, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we've got a few other things to talk about here. One is simple advertisements for a couple of things, and I'm going to go ahead and do one for our friends at the Times Examiner, which is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding true conservative and pro-life libertarian columnists. And the Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville and at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you'd like to place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David directly and ask for him by name, 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Help your business and help out this wonderful paper here in the upstate. All right, well, in Fox News overnight, we had a couple of headlines that are worth talking about. Of course, you had the Jordan bomb, the one happening in Amman, the capital of Jordan, killing 56. And Webb claim says hotels were full of, quote, Jews, crusaders, traitors, and prostitutes. Wedding party was infiltrated by the homicide bomber, and Chinese-Palestinian officials are among the dead. There are 115 wounded, quote-unquote. So that's gone on in the world of terror again. In Baghdad, another restaurant bomb went off yesterday, killing another 33 people. So more terror in that country, thanks to the aggressive war that was led by George W. Bush. Bird flu has been found in Kuwait. Okay, well, if that matters or not, I don't know. But anyway, we always try to keep a little bit of a bird's eye view, at least on bird flu, just in case it happens to turn into the pandemic that they're worried about, and so they have a reason to declare military or martial law here in America. We're concerned that that's really behind the real motivation behind worrying about bird flu. So at any rate, and old Andrea Yates is getting a new trial. You know, that's the one that drowned her five kids in the whatever. You know, this woman is twisted. Well, she's not going with the plea bargain. She's going to fight it. And she's there doing that. So that's your headlines for the day. Lots more discouragement out there, I suppose. And what can you expect when you've got a state like we've got that's going around the world doing what it's doing? Well, and there's also something that came up that was sent to us by one of the research staff from the LATimes.com, and that's that anti-war sermon brings IRS warning. All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena risks losing its tax-exempt status because of a former rector's remarks in 2004. This is LA Times, Patricia Ward Biederman, and Jason Felch writing. So now All Saints Episcopal, that doesn't sound like it's necessarily an Orthodox evangelical church. And the reason is I think most Episcopalians bailed out, didn't they, of the evangelical faith some time ago and became liberal. But I don't know. Maybe they're one of these reformed Episcopalians. But at any rate, they're making these anti-war comments. The Internal Revenue Service, says the article, has warned one of Southern California's largest and most liberal churches, okay, there's my answer, that it's at risk of losing its tax-exempt status because of anti-war sermon 2 days before the 2004 presidential election. Rector J. Edwin Bacon of All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena told many congregants during morning services Sunday that a guest sermon by the church's former rector, Reverend George R. F. Regas, on October 31st, 2004, had prompted a letter from the IRS. In his sermon, Regas, who from the pulpit opposed both the Vietnam War and 1991's Gulf War, imagined Jesus participating in a political debate with then-candidates George W. Bush and John Kerry. Regas said that good people of profound faith could vote for either man and did not tell the parishioners to whom to support. But he criticized the war. So this guy obviously was off and something. But anyway, he criticized the war in Iraq, saying that Jesus would have told Bush, "Mr. President, your doctrine of preemptive war is a failed doctrine. Forcibly changing the regime of an enemy that posed no imminent threat has led to disaster." On June 9th, the church received a letter from the IRS stating that a reasonable belief exists that you may not be a tax exempt as a church. The federal tax code prohibits tax exempt organizations, including churches, from intervening in political campaigns and elections. The letter went on to say that our concerns are based on the November 1st, 2004 newspaper article in Los Angeles Times and sermon presented at the All Saints Church discussed in the article. The IRS cited the Times story description of the sermon as a searing indictment of the Bush administration's policies in Iraq and noted that the sermon described tax cuts and is inimical to the values of Jesus. Okay, well, here, the main problem we have with this, there's a couple things that are interesting. First of all, the IRS apparently has agents that read the Los Angeles Times that have nothing better to do but pick on people based on what journalists are reporting, which is always doubtful. We know journalists don't necessarily report the whole truth. But secondly, why in the world is the IRS involved at all with this church in this way? And then thirdly, why in the world does this church apply to the IRS for a tax-exempt status at any rate? See, there's several problems here. Churches should not have anything to do with asking the IRS or the federal government for permission either to exist or for permission to get this so-called tax-exempt status. It's completely bizarre and wrong to go after the 501c3 point of view. You do not need the federal government, especially the IRS, regulating what is said from the pulpit. It's unbiblical, it's wrong, it's a bad direction to go for a church. Secondly, the IRS should have nothing to do as a government agency, if we call it that, a government agency. We'll talk more about the IRS here and not too long when Robert Clarkson gets on, I think. But when we talk about them, speaking of them, we can't condone the idea of them meddling with the affairs of the church. The church and the state should have nothing to do with each other in this regard. If anything, the church should be able to preach to the state. The church should be able to declare what it wants to the state. The church should be able to exist even in a particular state in a special, I wouldn't even say special privilege, but it should be able to exist without there being any interference at all on their side from government or come from the state at all. And so here we have a problem with the with this whole idea of IRS meddling. And this draws great concern to us, because if they're starting to meddle even with liberal churches, which we really don't care about in the sense that they're proclaiming falsehood and false religion, we are concerned that they would come and attack other people, other churches elsewhere where we attend, or you know, where conservatives and evangelicals, libertarians might go, because this is a grave problem. The state should not be intruding into the life of the church, and we need to be prepared for it. Pastors, don't get so worried. I know the fear of man brings a snare, and you need to be careful. Just, you know, you need to speak the truth. Don't worry about what these guys are going to do to you. We need to be activists in public policy, that's for sure. And we need to be engaging our culture. But that requires you to stand up and say, look, if two cheerleaders from the Carolina Panthers want to become lesbians and have sex during the game and disrupt all the fans like we read yesterday, that's sin. That's wrong. It's not something that God condones. You need to stand right up and tell people that. You need to stand up and not be afraid to say that the public school is the greatest progenitor of evil right now in the United States of America, and it's causing a great deal of grief for those who love liberty, and literally is eroding and dismembering the principles on which this country was founded, not to mention the Christian faith and a number of other things. So you need to be able to stand up and say that. You need to stand up and tell people not to participate in aggressive wars. You need to tell people not to participate in theft by taking federal grants or Social Security checks or any kind of educational grant and so forth. You need to be bold and do that and not worry about hate crimes or your tax-exempt status. You need to stand up for the truth and forget about what the state says. That's the fact. And if you have the fear of man, it's not only going to bring a snare, it's going to bring your church, your people, and the people you're called to shepherd down not only a notch, but maybe even down to perdition as time goes on. Just look at Europe. Somebody's got to make a stand at some point. And if it doesn't start with the church, as it did at the era of the founding fathers, then who's it going to begin with? It's certainly not going to be with the liberals or those educated in the public school and indoctrinated with the modern mass media. We need to take a stand for the truth and righteousness, and it begins with you who are preaching. Don't give in. Stand firm for the truth and continue to go forth. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's the top of the hour break. When we get back, hopefully we'll have Robert Clarkson with us. So stay tuned.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in the opinions of the means. I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading them or driving them out of it. Benjamin Franklin.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You are listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, 97.7 FM in Greenville, 87.9 FM in Spartanburg and Liberty, and 96.5 FM in Piedmont.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 10th day of November 2005. Let's quick look at the weather.
Well, the weather still looks pretty good. We're around 60 degrees right now. It's going to be high in the lower 70s today. A beautiful day with northwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. It'll be nice and breezy and sunny.
Okay. And any quotes for the top of the hour? Anything special?
Wow. All right. No, sleep at the wheel.
If you have one, go ahead and give it after the ad here. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? The power of positive change is in your hands when you vote for the Libertarians. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. In Greenville, the business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Augusta Road, north of I-85, one block before reaching Malden Road. Visitors are welcome. The Spartanburg monthly meeting is on the first Thursday of the month at 6:30 p.m. in the private dining room at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. Also, to talk politics, join us in Greenville for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network.
Okay, I do have a quote sent to me from a dear friend who is a pastor from the Czech Republic, and he was ordained in the underground church while they're still under the feet of communism, but he sent me a little email called The Seven Marvels of Communism, and they are as follows. Number one, everybody has a job. Number two, although everybody has a job, nobody works. Number three, although nobody works, the national economic plan is met by 100%. Number four, although the national economic plan is met by 100%, nobody can get anything. Number five, although nobody can get anything, everybody has everything. Number six, but though everybody has everything, everybody steals. Number seven, yet though everybody steals, nobody is missing anything.
That's funny. Good. That's good. I saw that, and I was going to actually read that myself. I'm glad you brought it up ahead of time, because that is a great quote. Well, you are great little wordsmithing that's been put together. The Worldviews Project announces the publication of Worldviews, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. This is by Stephen Yates. Dr. Stephen Yates, our local philosopher, pro-life libertarian here in the upstate. His new book is $20.99, $2 off if you're a member of the Constitution or the Libertarian Parties, plus $2.50 shipping and handling. If you'd like to get a copy of the book, send your orders to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Stephen Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, suite number 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. All right, it's now time for the great one to join us here on the air. That's the great one, Dr. Robert Clarkson, who has been having all sorts of problems lately himself with the IRS. A number of you have been interested in calling, actually have called after the show to ask for information on how to contact Robert Clarkson. And he's here to tell us that all is well, I think, and to discuss a bit of his case. Welcome to the show today, Robert.
Thank you, John, and thank you for giving me a chance to speak to the good folks in the upstate. And then, of course, by webcasting all over the country.
Well, good. And by the way, remember that 87.9 is now up as a Liberty transmitter, so that in Anderson shortly, if you can't hear it today, sometime within the next week or so, the signal boost will occur. And then down in Anderson, and where you're at, and other people on that side of the upstate will hear the Tyranny Response Network as well as Christian Worldview on 87.9. Now, I want to read a piece of the nature of this action so you can comment on it to tell about the case to folks. This is actually from the brief that was filed by the United States government. The United States brings this complaint to enjoin Robert Barnwell Clarkson individually and doing business as or through the Patriot Network or any other entity, and any other persons in active concert or participation with him, from directly or indirectly, A, organizing, promoting, marketing, or selling any tax shelter, plan, or arrangement that advises or assists customers to attempt to violate the Internal Revenue laws or unlawfully evade the assessment or collection of their federal tax liabilities. B, making false or fraudulent statements about the securing of any tax benefit by the reason of participating in any plan or arrangement, including the false statements that only those who volunteer are subject to the Internal Revenue Code, workers need not submit accurate W-4 forms, and that the United States citizens are not liable for federal income taxes. C, instructing, advising, or assisting others to violate tax laws. D, engaging in conduct subject to penalty under IRC 6700, that is, making or furnishing in connection with the organizing or sale of a shelter, plan, or arrangement, a statement that defendant knows or has reason to know to be false or fraudulent as to the material matter under the federal tax laws. And E, engaging in any act or conduct that interferes with the administration and enforcement of the Internal Revenue laws, including encouragement and assisting customers in disrupting or delaying the IRS examination of their tax liabilities. And finally, engaging in any tax activity subject to penalty under the Internal Revenue Code. All right, so there's what they're charging you with, Robert. So tell us what you think.
Well, they charged me the last sentence there. It's disrupting their activities. Mm. John, I'm guilty of sin at that.
Yeah.
I do it as much as I can. And they shouldn't have any trouble proving it because we videotape most of these things and put them on the website.
You actually go, the great one actually appears at the IRS offices, isn't that right, to assist?
Well, that's right. The great one is a genuine modern American, modern day superhero. He's the superhero that comes to the aid and assistance of little people who are beset or attacked by massive government agencies. He helps little people against Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows what his real name is and where he lives, but if you get audited or being harassed by some government agency, let me know and I'll send him an email, and he shows up as much as he can, and nobody knows what his name is or anything, and he walks into the IRS office wearing a huge red cape and a rather large, colorful sombrero. And he walks in there, and it gives them a lot of trouble from the beginning, and they think that he's going to cause trouble and that he's making fun of them.
And he probably is on both counts, I say.
All right. The agents think he's not scared of them, and he's encouraging other people to stand up against their tyranny.
All right. Well, what about this business, the nature of this action where it's talking about organizing, promoting, marketing, or selling tax shelters?
I never seen one.
Okay, so they're accusing
they got
you.
Me on that one. I wouldn't know. I haven't finished the idea what they're talking about.
Okay, so you've never had a tax shelter. For some reason, they're charging you with this. They're enjoining you from stopping the tax shelters, but you never have done them. So there's nothing really to stop there. And
nothing there. Yeah, so
I wonder
if they want me to, I'll agree not just do sell tax shelters and rob banks and dealing drugs.
Yeah, I suppose you're not normally in the business of robbing banks and dealing drugs either.
Yeah, no.
Right.
I'll also agree not to make books and speeches advocating bank robbery.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So what is this other stuff?
Banks are the enemy. You know, maybe auto make speed. The banks are the enemy. They're causing all these troubles in America.
Mm-hmm. The Federal Reserve System.
Banksters. Maybe we ought to emphasize that.
Okay. All right. Well, you can elaborate that on if you want, or we can continue on and talk about this making false or fraudulent statements about the securing of any tax benefit by reason of participating in any plan or arrangement.
We have an untaxed packet we used for 20 years, and it's always worked. I don't see why the IRS would complain about it. They accept it. But people buy the packet, and they file these forms with the IRS. In the last 20 years, the IRS has accepted 100% of them.
Hmm.
So I hate for them to come along so long saying now. The people buy the packet, they quit paying taxes the rest of their life.
Right.
And it works. It's guaranteed. They say it costs $55. John, I can't put out a packet for $55 with that much work in it. It used to be $200, now it's $300, going to $400. But people can buy the packet and then duplicate it for the friends and quit paying taxes the rest of their life. No more income tax, in some cases no more Social Security. And they can all do that all for piddly $300.
Sounds like a bargain. I mean, and there's been a lot of people over the years who have taken advantage of that program, I understand.
Yes, yeah, been very popular. Not with the IRS.
Well, apparently not.
I also make classes reading from quotes from the Supreme Court and reading quotes from IRS books published by the IRS and written by IRS agents on taxpayers' time, where they call it voluntary. So I really don't say it's voluntary as much as I quote them and read their quotes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice when you read the enemy admitting their wrongdoing. But I didn't make the income tax voluntary. They made it voluntary, and I'm just repeating what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they want to get an order keeping me from reading Supreme Court decisions.
Well, they probably would like you to stop doing that, because obviously the legal research you're doing is very frustrating to them. They're very concerned about you. Yeah,
We beat them in a case in Maryland on that CDPH. We just filed. We're now in the process of filing a series of lawsuits under the Illegal Tax Collection Act. This is a bounty hunter statute.
Mm-hmm.
We win these cases, and a lot of them are just a cinch. We get $100,000 to split up.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum statutory damages. And that's a real good law. So what it is, the IRS ignores the procedure code, ignore the acts of Congress, they ignore the Constitution, they ignore their own little rules and regulations. They're just like everybody else. They take shortcuts. They're also, unlike other people, are mean and vicious. But over the years, they have ignored the rules, and the agents don't even know what they are because nobody's ever enforced them.
Hmm.
Well, Congress passed these laws, and now Congress passed a law giving us private right of action to sue as a private attorney general. You can go to court, and a judge will appoint you a private attorney general on behalf of the taxpayers.
Hmm.
And then you carry the suit forward as a representative of the people, and the other side will pay you attorney's fees and costs to prosecute the case.
Hmm.
And some of the statutes, like this federal bounty hunter statute, is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the money out there, and we're going to start picking up our share. And agents have been so bad for so long that it just, you know, they have no chance of winning on some of the tactics they use.
Right. Well, this
nobody ever cared before because there wasn't anything that would stop them.
Well, this is very interesting stuff. Robert, I want you to hold on during the break. We're going to go to a quick break here. If anyone who would like to talk to Robert Clarkson this morning, please call us at either 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Those are the two numbers to call in, 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955, and we'll receive your calls during the break and afterward. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Robert Clarkson in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of the blessings. The inherent blessing of socialism is the equal sharing of misery. Winston Churchill.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Joss Whedon's Serenity says, "We are government metal. People don't like to be meddled with. We tell them what to do, what to think, don't walk. We're in their homes and in their heads, and we haven't the right. We're meddlesome." That was sent to us by Doug Taylor from the Upstate Libertarian Society. Thought that was interesting food for thought this morning. We have on the line with us Mr. Robert Clarkson, who is talking to us about his particular case here in the Upstate and some issues with the untaxed package. Yeah, they mentioned in this brief, Robert, that they that prices for the guides range from $55 to $300, that the untaxing package is, okay, Clarkson falsely tells customers that by sending the letters of the untaxing packet, that customers can completely remove any and all liability or commitment they have with respect to the Internal Revenue Service, the Federal Reserve, and their fraudulent taxation schemes. The letters you send will take effect the moment you send them. So they're picking on you here, talking about these different untaxed packages.
They're lying. First of all, that package stops you paying taxes in the future. The liability is taxes in the past, and it doesn't have anything to do with taxes in the past. That's another packet. They lied about that. And the $55 is nonsense. I couldn't make a packet for that quality and that good for $55. We're going to raise the price up to $1,000 soon. We just hadn't got around to it because it takes so much time to get every letter just right. But if it's no good, why have they been honoring it? Why do they respect it?
Right, so they're just...
Leave the people alone that use it. They will tell you that half the people that use that packet never get a letter from the IRS. Nothing.
Hmm. And what happens to the other half? Do they get letters from the IRS?
A few. The other half, most of them get a few, two letters, one letter, two letters, which you throw in the trash, and that's it. I'd say about one out of ten would get a third letter. They have to respond to that in a proper way. That's on the website. I'll help them. I would say, statistically speaking, that 95% this thing works. It's a charm with no problems up front, all along.
Tell people, Robert, your website and where they can get the package.
5% have problems, we help. The problem is with this packet, the IRS has honored 100% of them. And they've never bothered any of them, so that keeps us from knowing, you know, what parts they're going to challenge, because they have challenged it to zero, not a bit.
Mm-hmm.
My website is patriotnetwork.info. But you can go on my website, and there's a vast amount of information about me and my activities.
Okay, so you're not, the IRS, there's nothing you're hiding from anybody on this. So the IRS almost makes it sound like you're running some underground illegal scheme, but this isn't actually the case. It's right out there for anyone to see on the Internet.
That's true. They say they're trying to get an injunction. Injunctions for emergency stuff. Wow, I've been doing this for 30-something years.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I hadn't changed my program, and they know it. I've been showing up in the offices. I guess the first time I showed up in an IRS office, 1975, and I'm sure I was meek and mild and inquisitive and polite to them. Probably by 76, certainly by 77, I was in their face shaking my finger at them. I met the great one, I guess, in 70, maybe early 80s, I met the great one. He's been in their case a long time. This stuff generally got the local TV cameras go. So it's videotape. Anytime I meet with them, it's either videotape or we had a video and they wouldn't let us use it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting stuff. You know, Robert, we have a caller on the line that wants to get in on the conversation. Would you mind if we take a call here real quick? We have
the Mario.
All right. We have Chuck on the line, I believe. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Thank you. Good morning, John, and good morning, Dr. Clarkson.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Okay, but not great.
Okay. Well, I'll try to speak very clearly. I have a question for you about some interesting claims that I had read from a fellow named Pete Hendrickson. Now, he claims something, and this doesn't seem to be addressed in the document that the IRS has on their website about frivolous tax arguments, which I'm sure is a favorite bedtime reading of yours. He says that because there are two broad classes of taxes, direct and indirect, income taxes haven't been shown with Supreme Court cases to be in the indirect class, means that they are excise taxes. And excise taxes are synonymous with a tax on privilege. Therefore, if no privilege has been exercised, such as being the owner of a corporation or a corporate officer or working for the federal government, then the tax laws do not apply to you. Do you know if there are any cases that have been tried in a court dealing with that issue?
Now, lots of cases saying the income tax is voluntary and you don't have to file and don't have to pay. In the Eisner versus Boucher case, the Supreme Court ruled that taxes, the income tax did not apply to wages and salaries. And most of what you're talking about came from the Supreme Court decision in the Eisner case.
Right.
And we phrased it a little bit, but that came out of Supreme Court. But there's a series of cases, starting the Slaughterhouse cases, 1890s, that said the income tax was an excise tax. And the reason they kept saying it, because it's written that way, because the Constitution in two places makes illegal a capitation tax. There's no capitation tax or head tax allowed in this country. And they got around it by restructuring the income tax in such a way that by natural course of action, by law, by Supreme Court decisions, it was an indirect or excise tax. So, They can finagle laws and change the same amount of money and the same name, but the operation they change a little bit to make it legal. So they made the income tax legal as long as there's a privilege on a franchise. Hmm. And the people who get the privileges, it has to be exclusionary privilege. You can be an officer of a corporation and be a federal employee, but if you have a privilege in your corporation, like a telephone monopoly or electricity monopoly, that's a privileged franchise, and therefore the money you receive is a privilege. We exclude others, and therefore it's taxable. Now they've always beat us on that. But other people who are not in so situated, they've always been one of actually most of the time being left alone.
Robert,
the IRS leaves almost everybody alone, no matter what you do.
Robert, what if you're an employee of one of the like an electric monopoly or a firm that you just mentioned?
You have to be on a board of directors where you have discretionary power versus ministerial power.
Ah, okay. So the employees
on the running around in the power truck, he can't make the decisions. You know, he can say, "Let's use this tree here. This tree over here has got to go," but he's not up there where he's making decisions over lots of money and lots of privileges. So it wouldn't make any difference to him where he works. He'd still be untaxable by law. But the actually the board of directors of utility companies, those guys have to file by law, and as an act of Congress, they ain't got to file.
Hmm.
We advocate strict adherence to the law. If you owe the tax, go down there and pay it. The law says you owe it, you pay it. We advocate you pay the taxes you owe, don't pay the taxes you don't owe, and learn the difference. Paying the taxes you owe is bad enough. Paying the ones you don't owe is tragic.
Hmm. Okay.
The quotation Chuck read to him is a very good quotation. A lot of people have used that book and that method to stop paying income tax. They've used it for years, huge numbers of people, and so far it's been 100% effective.
Very good. Let me ask two more questions, and I'm not hearing well, so I'll hang up to listen to the answer. If he would comment on the taxation of federal judges, I believe there are court cases that upheld that that was legal, even though I don't think it's a very good idea because there's a conflict of interest there. And also what he knows about the prevalence of people not paying taxes, in other words, understanding the law enough to get out of the system. Is that growing or declining? How do you think that's going? I'll hang up, and I appreciate you being on.
Rights in regard to federal taxation is staggering. The IRS, finally, after lying for years, came up with a computer matching program. They match up the 1040 forms of individuals with the 1099 forms of W-2 returns the employers sent in. Now, these forms employers sent in have got the people's name, their slave number, the employer's name, the employer's ID number, an amount they paid in taxes, and employer's address. They've got all this vast amount of information, and they found that there's a filing gap. The filing gap is 64 million people.
According
to the IRS, if you walk down the street in Greenville, South Carolina, one out of four people that you see don't file and don't pay. If you go into a construction site in South Carolina and you talk with the painters, the roofers, and the landscape, none of them file and pay. And you see this in construction all over the country, small businesses, even some big ones are hiring. They should hire contractors. Walmart got caught hiring all those contractors and found out that, you know, none of them will file. The people that own the business and bid the job at Walmart were paying taxes and filing, but the employees, none of them were filing and paying none. So the numbers of people who are not filing and paying are staggering, and the IRS will tell you right up front, they just flat leave them alone. Now, we say they leave people alone because the law is very clear. You do not owe, and they cannot make you file and cannot make you pay. The Constitution prohibits involuntary servitude and also prohibits imprisonment for debt. So they cannot imprison you for owing money. Get you, everybody, all the libertarians out there saying they know somebody went to jail for not paying a tax. According to the Department of Justice and the statistics, in 220 years of our nation's existence, not one person has gone to jail for not paying the bank, the finance company, or the IRS.
That's very interesting information, Robert. I'd really appreciate having you on the show today. We probably need to have you back again, maybe next Thursday, if you're up to it. I know you're recovering right now from a small ailment, and probably this isn't a good time to keep you on for a longer period. But this has been such great information, Robert. We appreciate you having you on the show today. Will you be able to come on, you think, next Thursday again?
Yes, I can come.
Okay, well, let's...
Most of the Thursdays for a while.
Okay, well, let's...
call in.
Let's plan on doing it again next Thursday, then. We just reached the bottom of the hour break, so we're gonna cut off here and go listen to the Bill of Rights. Speaking of your rights, as Mr. Clarkson has been talking about, pay attention as you hear again the reading of this great document during our break. And
okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Robert, for calling, and we'll talk to you again soon. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else. Frederick Bastiat.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This 10th day of November 2005. Glad you've joined us. Had an exciting show today. I had a good caller early on, Roger up in Spartanburg, talking about some of the key issues here. And then we've had an entire half hour with Robert Clarkson and some callers online to talk with him. So glad you joined us. Glad we're making your day better and helping, hopefully helping you think a little bit better. Let's go ahead and check the weather.
All right. Okay, Dr. Coben, is still about 57 Greenville, Spartanburg, 57 Greenville downtown. Anderson and Clemson are 62 and 60, respectively. Still going to be higher in the 70s today. Northwest winds 10 to 20, but tonight it's going to be clear and a good bit cooler. Lows in the mid-30s, so there's going to be a frost advisory in effect, so cover your veggies and tender plants.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to give you a quick ad for the Tyranny Response Network's website. Remember, the events tab tells you all about the events of the upcoming month. Although Rip and Richie hasn't been able to get the calendar up yet, all the times are still listed there in text form. Please check it out regularly so that you know what's going on in the upstate. I believe this week we have a meeting of there's a meeting of the Libertarian Party. Not sure offhand if there's other, are there other meetings going on. Maybe up in Asheville there's a Carolina Patriots meeting. Also on the tyrannyresponse.com website, there are a few other things I thought I'd bring to your attention. One is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to Protect Your Private Property. It's under the Related Media tab, and it takes about 30 seconds to complete to tell South Carolina legislatures that you believe the rights to life, liberty, and property are inalienable, come from God, and are not granted by the state. They especially have no right to take away your private property through the Kelo or other decisions. Also, on the tyrannyresponse.com website is a contact tab, and you can go there and find the email addresses of various people at the Tyranny Response Network. We are in need of more volunteers. You know, we need to have more hands involved. They do simple things like produce on a substitute basis for the Christian Worldview show, as well as to do some technical projects here and there. So if you can help, please send an email to one of the people under the contacts tab there, or give Chuck a call at 271-6761 and just leave a message for him, and he'll get back in touch with you. By all means, support the Tyranny Response Network any way you can. If you can't volunteer your time, if you can send in a small amount of money every month, it would really help go a long way towards paying the expenses of operating the station. We're all volunteers. There's no profit being made. We'd like there to be at some point, but it's nowhere in the near future, at any rate. If you can send a check off to the Tyranny Response Network and help this great cause, it would be greatly appreciated. Go ahead and go to the main page on tyrannyresponse.com, and you'll see our address there where you can go ahead and send your contribution. Well, we've been working on a new book here, and it's really coming along quite well. It's called The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. Just getting back some of the first editorial comments on the book, and it's for reorganization and really setting it up well. It's going to be an outstanding book, one that will really lead the way in helping people understand why the principles of the Founding Fathers are congruent completely with what the Scripture teaches. And there should be no doubt in your mind after reading this book why the Bible teaches such things as that. The common mindset today among evangelicals is that the Founding Fathers were engaged in a dubious activity, that it was sinful. In fact, it still is sinful for Christians to engage in any kind of political activism of any significance. I'm not just talking about, going out and campaigning for George Bush. I'm talking about actual reform, getting rid of abortion clinics, getting rid of income taxes, getting rid of the Federal Reserve, getting rid of the public school. Serious stuff that Christians should be behind. This book will demonstrate theoretically and biblically why we can support those kinds of causes and be right with God. In fact, if we don't support those causes and be activists, why we're not being right with God. Unfortunately, many Christians today have fallen into the trap of being lackluster, to say the least, and have not been fulfilling their obligations to transform their world. And this book will help people see that. Lord willing. And it'll be out sometime in March, but the PDF version could be out as soon as January, so stay tuned. We'll be talking about it more and more as time progresses. All right, well, we want to go back and take a look at a few stories. Didn't have a whole lot of time for stories today because we had so many people on the line calling and whatnot. We're glad to have that as well. Let's see if we can find out a few things. Here's the Easley Bureau and talking about this overwhelming defeat in Pickens of the proposed 1 cent sales tax sent over by Upstate Libertarian Society coordinator Doug Taylor. It's left Pickens school district leaders scrambling to figure out a way to make improvements to worn-out, crowded school facilities. And a local business owner's relieved the sales tax will remain the same and keep money in the county. I don't know where we'll go from here, said school board member Shirley Jones after the final numbers were posted Tuesday night. Well, I can tell her where she should probably go with their public school, but I don't want to be rude, but I'm going to say this. The signal that they should be getting is that they don't need to have any more money. As a matter of fact, less money is still adequate to do the job, but then the final analysis, the public school needs to be shut down. The ultimate goal here is not to get to fight with these people and bicker and let them wear us down and eventually get their higher taxes for their school projects. We need to get rid of the system entirely, and I know Doug Taylor would be happy to see it go, as well as other people in the upstate who love liberty. It's just not a system that's either worth that either functions well or that serves us well in terms of people who want to promote the vision of the founders and the Christian worldview. It's antithetical to both of those things, and we need to dump it. Okay, here is another article called The Fruits of Globalization. The Fruits of Globalization. Make sure my producer's here recording all this stuff down. Remember. He's sitting there reading over there. He's like the secretary at my office downstairs. She does the same kind of stuff. She'll be on the job, and instead of doing any work, she plays like games. And every time it's not my employee. I wouldn't let my employee do that. But they come in and I come in and look over her shoulder. Actually, I don't have to even look over the shoulder. I'm just walking down the stairs, and her computer faces me when I'm walking down the stairs. And I'd say 7 times out of 10 that I see her, there's some kind of game she's playing. And I'll tell you, what a deal to get paid money to sit in a chair and play games all day.
Those are probably all educational games, Dr. Clark's, Dr. Coben.
Yeah, I'm sure they are for her. She probably was trained in the public school, and it's interesting to get her color straight and things like that, or whatever else she's doing. The fruits of globalization, rotten to the core. France erupts as rampant immigration reaps its vengeance. Paul Joseph Watson and Alex Jones, right? The world watches in trepidation as the wilderness wildfires of chaos sweep from France across Europe. We are witnessing the fruits of globalization, rampant unchecked immigration policies, and the enforced fusion of multiculturalism form the backbone of the New World Order systematic purge of the sleeping middle class. Well, okay, empires have historically dominated and conquered. The barbarians will one day wake up to find barbarians at the gate, a sizable portion of the secular humanist Westerners who like to think of themselves as part of the establishment when they are really the unwitting tools of the true elite, have brought into the cuddly utopian philosophy that the West is a global village which welcomes all comers and has enlightened innate ability to homogenize millions of different people of all different colors and creeds into one giant melting pot. The reality couldn't be further from the truth, and images of flaming buses, schools, nurseries, terror, and panic betray that fact. Now, this is jumping to some conclusions, it seems to me. There are people rioting, all right, but that doesn't mean that we know that it's the fruit of globalization. Doesn't mean that it's the fruit of unchecked immigration policies or the enforced fusion of multiculturalism. I think the people are very upset, and especially the Arabs. And I don't know that it's because of any of the doctrines that are mentioned here that they're doing their riotous activities. So I have to be careful when we're reading stuff like this not to just jump to conclusions. Now, as time goes on, as evidence comes in, we may find that there is evidence of, again, globalization or something that has really caused all of this sort of stuff. But it sounds to me like it's just a bunch of pugnacious ruffians, rogues, that are in every society. Every society is full of criminals, especially after they go to public schools. The government indoctrination center, the pagan seminary, turns out a huge number of new criminals every year. And of course, the greatest criminals, we would say, are in the state offices, like, you know, George Bush or the other criminals, like Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice. You know, these are all criminals too. They're just, you know, a different class of criminals. They're not necessarily rude and violent criminals this way. They take their violence in a different dose. It's sort of the difference between the guy who takes drugs by sitting in a dark alley somewhere and snorting something versus the person who orders it through some pharmaceutical outlet and gets high the same way, I guess, if that makes any sense. There's just a more sophisticated way of being a barbarian to the mind of the politician than the common thug that roves the streets. And France is full of thugs. There are many criminals, and there are many criminals in America. There are many criminals in Germany. And so that's what we're seeing. They're seeing the depravity of man come out to behave in this sort of manner. It just doesn't make any sense, folks, if you don't like the public policy in a society, to just start destroying private property. The founding fathers, sure, they threw the tea overboard at the Boston Tea Party, some of the founders. But they were very careful to not destroy other private property. And there is a point to which we can't, you know, revolt is going to include the destruction of some things. But to just rampantly start burning people's cars and burning down supermarkets and stuff like this is just chaotic criminal behavior.
Hey, in Chicago we do that when the Bulls win the series, so.
Yeah, that's right. The Bulls or the White Sox?
Well, I do when the Bulls, not with White Sox, when the Chicago Bulls won an NBA deal, they about burned the whole city down.
That's how they get excited. They just go let's just go find somebody's property and burn it.
We'll find somebody who's really worked for something and we'll destroy it because they don't deserve it.
Folks, this is not part of the Christian worldview to go and be destructive arbitrarily of people's property. And this I think Alex Jones, whoever else is writing here, Joseph Watson, are jumping to some conclusions. Paul Joseph Watson here, that they ought not to at this point. But you are listening to Christian Worldview, and we're always entertaining of all sorts of different positions, so we're happy to read them or listen to them on the air. If you have a question or comment for anything that's been on the show today, give us a call. Phone numbers are coming right up, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
That we are here to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public. Theodore Roosevelt.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. This is the last segment of the Christian Worldview show today. If you have a question or comment, want to give us a call, do so at 864-244-9904. Well, here is an article sent up by the illustrious research staff of the Tyranny Response Network, Gun Laws Fail at Tennessee School. This is by Jennifer Freeman. Where guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. A ban on firearms at a school and a ban on the possession of firearms by minors failed today when a student fatally shot an assistant principal and wounded two administrators in Campbell County, Tennessee. It is unknown at this time whether the student was under the influence of mood-altering drugs such as Ritalin, Provax, or Paxil, also known, unknown is the motive. Okay, clearly there's one thing left we can do. Ban school. If we ban school, there won't be any more school shootings. I like that. That's a good idea. You know, it's true. We need to ban school. This is a person that's making a good observation. I don't think she's necessarily on our side, though, as the rest of the article goes on. Is that ridiculous? Well, sure, an education is an essential part of our society, and there clearly aren't enough such incidents to warrant banning school. Why not? Right, we could just ban the whole public school. There are lots of incidents of shootings in public schools all over the place. We've had at least 10 in the last. We average about one every year, don't we, of shootings somewhere in one of the 50 states. At any rate, I think the idea of banning school makes a lot of sense. It shouldn't be looked upon as just some kind of a joke or silly. Firearms are used in self-defense an estimated 2.5 million times per year. Ordinarily, when confronted with an armed attacker, wrestling is not a recommended option. And it is very fortunate that additional injuries or fatalities did not occur as a result of that action. Had the teachers or administrators been armed, they would have been able to safely neutralize the attacker. Hopefully, yeah. Well, it just means if you know we're all armed, we just pull out the gun as soon as he starts shooting, and we blast him. It's not any wrestling match. So if everybody's armed in the schools, it's a lot safer place than if no one's armed but a crook. And that should make logical sense, but it doesn't. The liberals just don't understand that. Here's another story. Set fire to the gold share price. This came from freemarketnews.com. Canadian junior mining stocks have been benefited recently from money sloshing around for private placements and money and bought deal money. And what's bought deal money? Anyway, the effect has been temporary and muted. Resource investor David Lasoris charts the pattern. The odd discovery was made that that there are good numbers. He says the pressing question, as if no one cares, about good results and good numbers, that gold is 467 and copper is 181, what's it going to take? The odd discovery has made little difference. What's worse, if and when gold and copper correct, they will take these companies down with them, even though they never benefited from the rising commodities prices in the first place. An almost pathologically overspending president is going to be even more problems. I'm trying to read through just pieces of this article here. It sounds a little disjointed, I know. Effectively, you've got a lot of firms who have jumped into the gold mining business while gold is that high here, have not been able to capture a lot of benefit from the high price, and if there is a correction, we're going to have a number of them going to go down and go out of business. So be aware of that when you're dealing with gold mining stocks. All right, and Free Market News also says that French towns get emergency powers. France's government has issued a decree declaring a state of emergency in Paris and more than 30 other towns and cities following a 13th night of rioting. Paris is a little bit quieter, but there are still lots of stuff going on, a big curfew law in France. So we're keeping an eye on that as we watch these thieves and looters go around all over the place in France and also in Germany. Riot states, no to EU constitution. Reader Magnus says, emails the Free Market News as follows. I'm amazed no one has yet pointed out in the pundit world that the nations which opposed the European Union constitution, namely France and later Denmark, just happened to be the ones ravaged by rioters. Well, what does that difference does that make? Maybe they just have more criminals, is that what they're saying? And if they weren't criminal, they would vote for the European Union? I sort of doubt it. Here's another story. I know we're going rapid fire here, but we're coming close to the end of the show, and I want to try to get a number of these in. Hans Senholz wrote Shadows of Foreign Debt. This is a little bit of an older article, I believe. Well, not too bad. Sometime during the year, 2005. We have last year, the American balance posted extraordinary deficits of some $668 billion, or more than 6% of gross national product. This year, it's estimated to exceed $700 billion. One man's debt is another man's asset. The American deficit is some $700 billion, signals foreign credits of the same amount. Japan is one of the biggest creditors, with claims of some $170 billion. Every penny of a dollar of depreciation benefits many American businessmen either by depreciating their debt to foreigners or appreciates their foreign investments or both. The federal government, with rapidly rising debt of more than $8 trillion, is by far the biggest beneficiary. American officials and their academic friends are quick to reject such analyses and conclusions. They dismiss all thought of responsibility for the situation instead of point to an acute saving predisposition on the part of creditor countries. Ben Bernanke, former governor of the Federal Reserve and now chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, insists that much of the world is suffering from acute disorder of savings glut. The United States has no choice but to increase consumption. Good grief. Even in the European Central Bank, which appeared in the scene in 1999, probably could not follow the Federal Reserve footsteps. It would soon damage the euro. But how long can the dollar withstand false interest rates and massive budget deficits? Many countries, rich and poor, now are supporting the richest country on the earth because of the deflation of the dollar, or the inflation of the dollar, and the payoff, basically, of the debt. And it's a big fiasco, folks. The debt will never be paid off. You got to realize that. You realize that $8 trillion is just enormous. It's so much money. There's no way that all the Americans living now, if had to pay a per capita tax, could even come close to paying it. And the interest is growing at $1 billion a day. What Senholz is telling us, economist with Foundation for Economic Education for so many years, he's telling us that, folks, we're looking for some kind of hyperinflation. We're looking for some kind of diabolical undoing that the federal government here in the United States has evidently planned. Not looking good. All right, we have LouRockwell.com, an article here as well. And they did shoot him, is the Charles Featherstone article of the day. In part three of his massive literary investigation, the first five decades of the Soviet Union's prison system, the Gulag Archipelago, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in a chapter entitled Fingers of Aurora, writes that the first days following the Bolshevik coup d'etat, Lenin and those surrounding him understood how important it was to create a new Soviet prison system capable of imposing the most decisive draconian measures to tighten up discipline. It was necessary for the party now in power to use whatever measures it could to get its hands on to keep, defend, and expand that power. Sure,
The ideologues of the party and its functionaries certainly said they were creating a new kind of prison, a new kind of punishment, a new kind of forced labor for a new kind of human being and a new kind of better society. That was the end, and to the end, which concentration camps were and merciless terror, to borrow Lenin himself, were applied. Skipping down through the article, it was this that first came to my mind when I read this weekend that Team Bush was making secret use of Soviet-era prisons and detonation facilities. If bourgeoisie society is one distinct advantage, and it has many, is that sadism is not one of the social graces, and it has little place in polite society. Because governments and revolutionaries are the only legitimate users of the services that professional degraders and destroyers of men are happily willing to be able to provide. And it's a very accurate statement. Team Bush using these kinds of prison systems looks very, 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 very dark and dastardly at the moment. People already have forgotten what life under communism must have been like. My kids, for instance, have no concept of the idea of a threat from something like the Soviet Union. Now, I realize the threat from George Bush is also great. And I realize the threat from the Republican and Democrats parties is not to be underestimated. But what people had to go through and live under in Eastern Europe and in Russia for, you know, basically from 1917 or 1920 all the way through 1989 was pure hell. It was awful. It's a terrible thing that if you weren't murdered, you almost wish you were sometime because of the torture that went on under the big-handed state surveillance. And we need to be careful, folks, because with the Patriot Act and the other things that George Bush is imposing, including what Featherstone's saying about the prison system, we may end up with something very similar here not too long in the United States. Because government or the state loves this kind of power, and there's no reason why it wouldn't do the same things if left unchecked. That's why you have a Second Amendment. That's why you should be active in engaging your culture as a Christian, because there still is some hope. One problem we do face is the ignorance of the masses. The public school or the pagan seminary has done its job in fighting against us and telling people the truth, not telling people the truth. But we have some of the glimmer of hope here, because at least there are some who still understand the principles of liberty. All right, one more article and then we're done. This is from the Australian, Science and Nature. Japan's whalers bite off too much, Peter Alford says. He's a Tokyo correspondent. Japan's Antarctic whaling fleet sailed off this morning to its biggest killing in 20 years, leaving fisheries officials unsure if they will be able to handle the results of its efforts. When the fleet returns to the port of Shimonoseki in mid-April, this catch will increase the supply of whale meat by 70%, an official conceded yesterday. There was uncertainty as to whether the market could handle without a collapse in price. So what? Under JARPA 2, the new Antarctic program, Japan unilaterally adopted this earlier this year. The six-vessel fleet will harvest up to 945 whales in the next 6 months, more than double the previous seasonal catch limit. We understand that coastal whaling is part of the Japanese culture. Next season, the Southern Fleet will also start hunting humpbacks with the beloved Austrian whale watchers. Already, 45% of the annual catch is distributed as government-subsidized meats or meals. The lowest quality meat, about 55% of the total, is processed for canned food, and only the best 10% goes to fish markets and supermarkets. A source who asked not to be named told the Australian yesterday that fisheries industry was expecting the government to expand its subsidy of whale meats next year, but that market prices would still have to fall significantly. Whaling enthusiasts claim the Japanese could eat more whale if they would eat more whale if they could. Opponents cite surveys such as the Ashi Shimbom's 2002 found that only 4% had regularly ate it, 53% had touched it since school, and 33% had never tasted it. Whaling is simply not important to the Japanese public, they said. Well, apparently it is, because they're buying lots of meat from it, and they apparently like to eat it. There's some demand for whale meat, and I don't have a problem with whaling. Does anybody else have a problem with whaling? I don't know. But maybe you do. If you do, call next time, because we're out of time. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us today, and look forward to another great edition tomorrow morning right here on 97.7 in Greenville, 87.9 in the rest of the upstate, and we'll see you then. Till then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.